Blog Talk Radio.
You are muted.
Good morning, and welcome to the Think and Grow Rich International Mastermind event for the day, which is our Subconscious Mind Principle discussion on the book Think and Grow Rich. My name is Ann McMillan. I am the Master Builder, helping you to build a stronger and better life and business. And I am excited today, like every day, of course, to just continue to bring to you the very best from the philosophy espoused by Napoleon Hill in this book, Think and Grow Rich. But today is very special. It's very special because this particular principle is like none other. When you think about the power of your subconscious mind, and then to have a very powerful guest sharing his insights from this principle is going to be a phenomenal experience. So if you would please like and share the show, call a friend, a neighbor, a coworker, want to sit tight with pen and paper because you will want to take notes, lots of notes. Comment, participate live. We're streaming live on Facebook and some of the other platforms. And you can ask questions of either of us, especially our guests, but you can also share your comments and your thoughts on this principle. But without further ado, let's talk a little bit about this subject. The subject today is subconscious mind, your subconscious mind. And so, Mr. Bingham, we have two Binghams here today. We have Galen Bingham, yes, our co-host, Mr. Galen Bingham. And then we also have his younger brother, but sometimes who acts like his probably older brother. But Mr. Bingham is going to share with us today, along with our awesome co-host, Ms. Ursula Odom. But what I'm going to do first is share with you a little about what the author says about this phenomenal principle. Then we're going to introduce our co-host, and we're going to get right into the conversation. So we're going to give you a minute to get a pen and a pad. We're going to ask and encourage you, please share the show, because when you are able to make the connection between the power of your conscious mind and your subconscious mind, when you can make that connected link and understand how you can direct your every thought, action, and deed into the direction you'd like for it to go. Let's see what Napoleon Hill has to say about the subconscious mind. He says the subconscious mind consists of a field of consciousness in which every impulse of thought that reaches your objective mind through the five senses is classified, recorded, and from which thoughts may be recalled or withdrawn as letters from a file cabinet. Now, take a moment and think about this. Every single thought you have ever had in your life is stored in your subconscious mind. But what does that mean to you about your desire and how do you attract that? So let me first introduce to you my co-host, Mr. Galen Bingham, first, and then Ms. Ursula Odom, second, and then we will go to Mr. Regis Bingham, and I'm going to share a little about his bio, and then we will get right into the question. So good morning, Mr. Galen Bingham. How are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm excited to be here. Galen Bingham, the leadership strategist. And, this is a very, very important chapter, and I've been doing a lot of research and study on the brain and subconscious mind in particular, so can't wait to get into this conversation. And since God gave me all the good looks, my younger brother got the brain, so just to be fair.
Well, the power of subconscious mind will bring forth the truth to that matter, so let's move on. Ms. Ursula Odom, good morning.
Good morning. I'm excited about this chapter and this show. The subconscious mind, that means that 24/7, every day, it is at work. And in this studio, it's electric. Now, who am I? I'm Ursula Odom. I'm the CEO of Sula 2. and we make old new in everything we do. So we're going to hear about the old stories and how they make these two new. All right. Well, let's get to it. Remember that the subconscious mind receives and files sense impressions or thoughts regardless of their nature. You may voluntarily plant in your subconscious mind any plan, thought, or purpose which you desire. And I want to stop there because we started this philosophy talking about desire. And so as a part of this conversation, we will talk about your desire and how do you connect your desire to your conscious mind and have your subconscious mind go to work to bring it to fruition. But consider this in connection with the instructions given in the desire chapter for taking the six steps that were outlined. Those six steps were how much money you want, doing what by when, create an affirmation statement, then a plan of action, and then number six, you would recite that statement twice a day, once upon arising in the morning and then once before retiring at night. That is the power of your subconscious mind as you continue to feed it the thoughts you want it to bring about. All right, so we'll wrap up with this. The subconscious mind works day and night. Through a method of procedure unknown to man, the subconscious mind draws upon the forces of infinite intelligence for the power with which it voluntarily transmutes your desires into their physical equivalent, making use always of the most practical media by which this end may be. I want to introduce to you our special guest today. Our special guest, like I said earlier, is Mr. Regis Bingham, and he's an advisor representative, a chaplain for incarcerated youth, which is so very powerful, and a mental health therapist for children and families. Mr. Regis Bingham has spent the majority of his professional career assisting people in removing obstacles, and that's what we're talking about today. How do you remove obstacles from your life with the subconscious mind power that impedes them from living their optimal life? So help me welcome to our program today, Mr. Regis Bingham. Good morning, Mr. Bingham. How are you?
I'm doing very well. I am so excited to be able to be on the show. As a matter of fact, it was Think and Grow Rich that actually propelled me to the show because I was watching it. And I said, man, how can I be one of those panelists on that show? And then all of a sudden, here I am.
Wait. So your brother didn't invite you to the show?
No.
What? Okay, good. Wait, we're going to get to that. Let's get to that. So what was your first introduction to this principle? And then we'll talk a little bit more about, you know, your background and all the wonderful things you do. But what was your first introduction to this particular book?
It was actually the power of the subconscious mind. My dad would always have books just around the house. And this was one of those books. And as a kid, it looked interesting. You pick it up, read a couple pages, and then you go out and play baseball, play basketball or whatever. But this was one of those books out of a myriad of books that was always around the house. And then a couple of years ago, Galen said, hey, you remember that book that was around the house? Let's read that together and let's start getting into those principles and exploring it. And that's it's been great ever since.
Wow. And that really brings to mind the power of, we talked about family a little earlier and the impact that family can have in a very, very positive way. But again, when we realize that nothing is either good or bad, but it's our thinking that makes it so. So even though I say a positive way, it can also be a negative way. Mm-hmm. So can you share with us a little bit about how did you get here, though, in terms of your background? We talked earlier about your father and your family and how so many similarities between the two of you, your three of you, really, your brother Galen and then your sister. And I'm curious, and I think our audience would be curious to know, share with us a little bit about your background and the impact that not just your dad, but your mom had on you, because I think that
as we talked earlier, the power of the subconscious mind that was working in your family, even though you didn't call it that. And it's important for all of our listeners to how we impact those around us without knowing it, subconsciously, of course.
Absolutely. There's a parallel book to this that says, train up a child in the way it should go, and when he leaves, it won't depart from it. And that's actually what our parents did. They continued to instill certain values, certain thoughts, certain, this is just what Binghams do. And I right now, I'm a parent, I have a daughter, and there are times that I said, I've become my dad, and I don't know how I feel about that, you know, because there are things that will just come out of my mouth that I recall my dad saying or my mom saying, and it's just kind of like, well, it's kind of tough being a Bingham. Yeah, those are things that we just do.
Tell us, give us an example, and I'm gonna challenge your brother to step in here, because again, the power of the subconscious mind, we can read it in a book, but really, what does it look like every single day? So unconscious are we to this power that if we don't recognize it, we cannot embrace it, and if we don't embrace it, we can't use it to our benefit. So can you both give us a couple of examples of some things that he would say or she would say and or do that's impacting you now as a parent? And this, again, to all of our listeners, we're talking about the power of your subconscious mind in your home with your family, past, whether it's grandparents or great-grandparents or whatever it is that they did, and you may not recognize it as the power of that conscious mind.
One message that I have received repeatedly, and it continues to ring in my ear, I remember my dad saying, average is not okay. Being okay is not okay. I have to be head and shoulders above what is expected. And there are times that I want to say, that's okay. That's good enough. And it would ring back, nope, good enough is not good enough. And there are times in which, I may be tired, I may be down, maybe just having a bad day. And those words will, even though he's many hundreds of miles away, it's still ringing in my ear. And those things were told decades ago.
Mm-hmm.
But it still rings in your ear. And one of the things that Napoleon Hill had talked about is that your subconscious is your file cabinet of memories, and you just remember and you draw upon those things that you go through, and sometimes you don't even know, how did I get up for one more round? But it's because of those messages that are instilled in you at a very early age, and being in counseling field, I know that those messages are very powerful that carry you into your adulthood.
Yeah, I mean, so I could share similar stories. You know, one of the stories that actually I just talked to Dad about, I think like a week and a half ago, is something he used to say when I was much younger and was actually trying to play basketball. He would say, "You can beat anyone if you think about how to beat them." You know, you can do anything you want to do if you think about how to do it. Usually doing it harder, doing it faster, doing it longer is not the answer. You've got to think about, which Napoleon Hill would call organized planning. But that's a concept that I think Napoleon Hill got from my dad. Yeah, he may have written the book in 1937, you know, but, you know, my dad was the one that probably shared that with him. And so that's a key principle that, to your point, that we pass along, whether we share it directly in those specific words or whether we do that in our behaviors. Because let's face it, our kids don't really listen to our words that much. They watch what we do. They watch how we handle different situations. And, you know, the fact that before I get into anything or if I'm facing something challenging, I take a step back and try to think about, okay, what's going on here? What's the best approach? What's the most effective approach to handling that?
You know, I'm going to come to you, Ursula, but I would like for you, Galen, to share with us, if you don't mind, how you described your brother. And wait. I think it's very empowering because it is exactly in line with what he just shared. Now I have a better understanding of why he got this degree. Then he went on to get this degree. And in studying, he had this attitude that okay is not okay, it's not good enough.
Sure.
So if you can...
Yeah, so, you know, the story that I tell often whenever I describe my brother is, you know, my brother, he gets certifications and degrees about things that he's just curious about. You know, most of us, when we're curious about psychology, you know, we like get a book on psychology, maybe look up for an article on psychology. My brother went and gets a degree in psychology because he's curious about it. And then he becomes a psychologist because he's curious about psychology. I think I was in business school and I shared with my brother some financial calculation that I came across and was really excited about it. He said, "Oh, that's interesting." And then a couple months later, he's like sitting for his Series 7 certification to be a financial analyst. You know, I share some scripture that I'm getting into with my pastor. I share that with my brother, and my brother says, "Wow, that is really interesting." And he does his own research on that scripture, and now he's an ordained minister and a chaplain. It's like, dude, you don't need to get a certification on everything that you're curious about. But, you know, to your point, Ms. Ann, I think that that's just a testament as to, you know, how he wants to show himself approved for whatever it is that he's talking about. He wants to make sure that, first of all, he's not advising anyone in the wrong direction, but then number two, that he is absolutely drenched in that topic before he even goes out into the world. I was excited about you know, this area of public speaking and was starting to speak to some groups and really excited about it and would go back and talk to my brother about these groups I'm talking to, the organizations I'm part of. And my brother says, "Wow, that's great." And he enrolls in Toastmasters and he becomes a regional champion in Toastmasters. I'm like, dude, just, you can read a book. They've got YouTube now. But yeah, so.
No, I want to be a contrarian here for the benefit of our listeners. And I want to make sure we get, this is so powerful. The power of the subconscious mind, think about it like the planting of a seed that is watered over time. I'd like to suggest, as a contrarian, Galen, that your father planted that seed of good is not good enough. And that seed has grown into both you and your brother because you're the same way. Yes, you are. And your sister, same way. But in your brother being younger, he has you on the one hand, he has your dad on the other hand, and good is not good enough. So I just want to encourage our listeners to think about this in your own life and in your own desire, because his desire, your brother's desire, he's sitting here, can comment. I believe that his desire was lifted, that seed was planted in the subconscious mind, that if I'm going to do this, I'm going to be the very best at it because of the seed that was planted. And so I'd like to move on, and I know she is so excited to get in on this conversation as she always is. Ms. Ursula Odom, please come off mute and share your thoughts and engage our guest, Mr. Regis, in this conversation.
I actually am quite comfortable sitting here listening to this because this is what I'm all about, gathering that story. And I'm watching it play out right in front of me. I just love it. And then you started talking about the seed, which I was sitting here with the seed in my hand ready to talk about that. So I'll pivot and realize that when we're talking about the subconscious mind, it actually started in this book under the author's preference. In there it said, the canny, lovable old Scotsman carelessly tossed it into my mind. And let me repeat that, tossed it into my mind. And so he said some words that he just put out there, and it tossed it into the person's mind, Napoleon Hill's mind. And what comes to mind there is something that a dear friend of mine used to say, is that, why do you want to put that in my head if it's negative? So my question to you, Regis, is how do you keep negative thoughts, negative seeds, negative tossed into your mind away from you?
Well, I'm going to answer that a little bit from my own history. When I was younger, I played football, and that's just even though a lot of people look at it as a physical game, it's really about planning and planning where are attacks going to come from, how do you defend it, and going forward. Well, you have to do the same thing when it comes to negative attacks. Where are those attacks coming from? Do you know? And prepare to defend against those attacks. Some of those will come from outside sources, people that mean to do you harm. There may be coming from outside sources from people that love you and don't, they're just trying to protect you. And some of them, those seeds are internal, and you're trying to battle yourself. And so you protect that by identifying where are those attacks coming from, and you have to counter it. You have to be able to go through life and say, I'm more than this. That's where the positive affirmations come from. Being able to constantly, no matter what other people say, how am I going to continue to live my life and move forward from there?
Thank you.
So I have
another question I usually ask.
Sure.
And because I have both of you here, what was 5-year-old Regis and Galen like?
I'll let you take that.
Okay. Well, there is a running joke in my family from when I was five. And I'm a very literal person. If something says, hey, do X, Y, and Z, you'll get this outcome, that's exactly what I'm going to do, X, Y, and Z. That's why I really take things for rich so literally, because it's giving a prescription. I remember I was five years old, I was getting ready to go to kindergarten first time, and my mom told me that do not be afraid to ask the teacher for help. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm trying to be nice. I'm raising my hand and waiting for the teacher to call on me, and she's going around to everyone except for me. And I'm watching the other kids. As soon as you finish the assignment, you can go out and play, but not coming. And so instead of sitting and just waiting and being quiet, I stood on the top of my desk and yelled at the teacher, "Hey, lady, I need help." So... That kind of gets to, I'm just a very literal person that way. If something says do it X, Y, and Z, that's just what I'm going to do.
Nice. And I'm curious about Galen too. And then I'll put it back to Ann.
Yeah, you know, it's very interesting that as I think about my younger self, it really does fit into what I do now. You know, being the oldest, being the firstborn, there was a lot of things that I didn't have a blueprint for. I didn't have a formula for. There was no one going before me that could make the mistakes and give me some advice. So my job was to kind of jump out there and figure things out as they come. And so there was an expectation that when I went to school that I would take leadership responsibilities, and that if there wasn't an organization representing something that I thought was interesting or important, that I would start that organization. And so leadership, I think, was a big part of kind of my upbringing. And so now that I advise leaders and I talk about the importance of leadership and the roles that leaders play in their organization and for people that might be watching them and thinking of them as mentors, that makes a lot of sense. That, you know, everything connects when you look back. So, so I think that was it. A lot of time. So, and again, this is another benefit that Regis talks about a lot. A lot of times Regis would want to do something, not really know the formula, and he'd suggest to me, you know, hey, Gail, we think it might be interesting for you to go do whatever, right? He'd send me out there because he knew I would go, and then he'd land the cut and say, okay, well, that didn't work out for Galen, so I'm going to try a different route to get.
Hey, success leaves clues.
All right, so what I'd like to do is come back to some questions regarding how you use this subconscious mind and success leaving clues, and what both you and Galen are sharing from Ursula's question. So with that thought in mind, how do you take the negative and turn it into a positive with your subconscious mind? And if you can give us your response in some kind of instructional way, like you talked earlier about the fact that scripture, for example, affirmations, for example, are one of the ways we can, you know, use that conscious to talk to the subconscious in an affirmative kind of way, which is why the scriptures and the affirmations and all of these things are so important to plant. So help us understand how important are your emotions in doing that, in terms of taking the negative thoughts and turning those into positive action.
Well, and there's a lot in that question. It's really, really packed in. One is being emotionally self-aware and knowing what kind of state you're in. You can, and sometimes you just have to back up and say, you know what, I'm not feeling well right now. I've got to step back, recalibrate, put myself in a good mood. And notice I said you have to put yourself in a good mood. No one else can put you in a mood that you don't want to be put in. So you have to take ownership for your own feelings. And I share with people quite often, it would be a terrible place to be if when you wake up, you have to go ask someone else, how do I feel today? Because they're in charge of your emotions. You are in charge of your emotions. So because you're in charge, you have to decide what kind of space do I want to be in. And when you make that decision, then your action starts to follow. And when you're in a good mood, when you are in an empowering mood, then problems are just little obstacles that you're going to overcome. The second part of it is a skill. Part of it is a state. The other part is a skill. And because it's a skill, everyone has the opportunity to get better at that skill. And the skill is simply a reframing technique. Issues are just issues. But you can put it in any frame you want it to be. I do an exercise with my clients all the time. I said, pick something that you generally think is a positive thing to do. And I will frame it negatively. And then I will do the reverse. Give me something that you would generally think is negative, and I will frame it positively. I'll give you a quick example.
Please.
a couple said, well, what if I win the lottery? That is a great thing. Man, I'd love to win the lottery. I said, really? Do you realize that all the taxes you'll have to pay with all that money? Then on top of that, all these people that are going to come after you trying to get that money? And then the majority of people that win the lottery end up going bankrupt a few years after. Do you really want to have that experience in your life? Likewise, they'll say, well, my parents weren't very good. They abandoned me and sent me into foster care and really never had any parents. I said, and that's a bad thing? Because how better way can you learn self-reliance than to get it at a very early age that you have to go and learn how to be self-reliant, you have to learn how to be resourceful, and you are a problem solver, and you got that seed planted from a very early age. I know some parents that do everything for their kids, and they can't even boil a pot of water right now.
Wow.
That
is empowering, because what you're doing is helping us understand, you know, the power in that subconscious mind and how you can turn it into whatever way you choose.
And to that point, Ann, a friend of mine used to say, change your state and you change your state. So he helped me understand the magnitude of that statement. Change your state and you'll change your state.
Yeah, this whole conversation about the power of the subconscious mind, I want to remind us, as I just kind of go back and just read just one more portion from the book, because what Napoleon Hill is sharing with us is that your subconscious mind allows us to tap into infinite intelligence, if you will. And once we tap into infinite intelligence, going back to the scripture and, again, these affirmations, it all ties back into your desire. And so let's take what Mr. Bingham just said about both of those examples. Whether you win the lottery, but really what's the reason you want to win the lottery? It's a desire you have for more money. The lottery is one way, but there are a lot of other ways. Going back to the example about being self-reliant, one of my favorite essays from Emerson is self-reliance. But going back to the point of when you're blessed with a parent that puts you in foster care, and I use the word blessed, now you're controlling your subconscious mind and say, it's a blessing. Now, how can I find that? What do I do to impact that? So let me just share, just again, going back to Napoleon Hill says, the 13 principles are the stimuli with which you acquire the ability to reach and influence your subconscious mind. Do not become discouraged. And again, going back to Mr. Bingham, your point, do not become discouraged if you cannot do this upon the first attempt. Remember that the subconscious mind may be voluntarily directed only through habit under the directions given in the chapter on faith. You have not had time to master faith. If you have not had time to master faith, be patient. Be persistent. Now, Mr. Bingham, you mentioned the other book. And for those who know exactly what you're talking about, that other book, for those who may not know that other book, since we're always talking about different books here, if I'm not mistaken, you're talking about the Bible, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
So can you share with us any thoughts you have about the impact of your faith on your subconscious mind? Any thoughts about your faith on your subconscious mind?
Is prayer. And prayer is you verbalizing and having its impact onto your is really a prayer. Man, I'm so stupid. That's a prayer. Okay, why can't I get this? I'm never going to get this. That's a prayer. And God of the universe says, okay, you're not going to get it. So we've got to, and the Bible says, life and death is in the power of our tongue and what we say and how we say it. My faith lends itself that sometimes we've got to get better at asking better questions.
So with that thought in mind, let me go to this question. What are your thoughts about, since you brought up faith, I brought up faith and then you commented in regards to the teaching, but what are your thoughts about the teaching of the church and money and the impact it has on our subconscious mind?
Yes, that's something that's very near and dear to my heart because when Gail and I read this book as a family and we were learning what it was really saying about money, it was like it's so contradictory to what we've been taught within the church. We've been taught in the church that money is evil and you should not pursue after money. And only rich people won't be able to get into heaven and all these negative thoughts about money. Well, when you're hearing that over and over from an early age, that also plays into your subconscious. So a lot of times people don't want to become rich. But as I start breaking it down for people, I said, have you ever read the Bible? They'll say, no. I said, as a matter of fact, the people that we herald as righteous people were also wealthy. We have Abraham, who they said was a righteous man, but also very wealthy. Job was a righteous man, but also wealthy. Solomon, he just go by countries.
All right, Mr. Bingham, we do have a question. I want to make sure I get to this question, and thank you. Thank you, Mr. Williams, for the question. And he asked, how does writing down desires affect the subconscious mind? Powerful question. Thank you, Mr. Williams.
Writing down desires will affect your subconscious because anything that you do starts in your subconscious mind. You've got to be able to think about it first. And so writing it down first starts in your mind. And the act of writing it down helps to clarify it. That's why journaling is so powerful, helps you to clarify exactly what you want. Writing down your goals helps you to clarify exactly what it is that you want so that it continues to plant those seeds within your subconscious mind.
Wow, thank you so much for that. We do have a summary. We talked earlier about why that's important. So when Mr. Williams asked that question, it reminded me of the fact that we do have 13 principles. And Galen, if you would share with us what those 13 principles are, then we'll come back to the questions because all of these principles connect to each other. And so when we realize that it's like building blocks of a building for your life, if you will. So, Galen, if you would be so kind to just share with us, what are those principles?
The beauty of the work that Napoleon Hill has put together is the fact that it is a system. It is a formula for success. And the first step, the first principle is desire. That's the turning point of all achievement. You can't achieve anything that you first don't desire to achieve. The second step is faith, which is the visualization of the belief in the attainment of that desire. And we talked a little bit about faith and the importance of that as well. Auto-suggestion, which is the medium for influencing the subconscious mind, that's where reciting scripture comes from. That's where mantras come from. That's where meditation and some of the yoga practices come from. The next principle is specialized knowledge, personal experiences and observations. General knowledge is great. Universities are full of people that have tons of general knowledge. Unfortunately, people don't pay for general knowledge. That's where specialized knowledge, personal experiences and observations come from. And then the next principle is imagination, which is the workshop of mind. How do you take that specialized knowledge, apply imagination so that you can create something that would generate wealth. And that is done through the following step, which is organized planning, which is the crystallization of desire into action. The next step is decision, which is the master of procrastination. We all struggle with those things that we know that we should do, but we don't. Well, usually it's because we have not made a firm and clear decision on what that thing is. Napoleon Hill gives you tips on how to master procrastination by making a decision. But one thing that I've come to know as absolutely true is that the first time you try to do something usually will not be met with the same kind of success. And that's why the principle of persistence is important, because that's the sustained effort necessary to induce faith. You're actually building your faith the more you have to work at achieving that thing that you desire. And the next is the power of the mastermind, and that's what we are. That's why we meet every week. And a little shout out to one of our mastermind members who's not here today, Pagin. She talks about how this is our mastermind group, and we meet a couple of times a week, sometimes at 5 o'clock in the morning, so that we can build each other up and make sure that everyone is pursuing those things that they say that they want to achieve. That is the driving force. And then the mystery of sex transmutation, and there's always a chuckle when we say sex, but it's really about how do you change one energy to another energy? And that's what that principle is about. It's about changing energy from one form to another. And then as you come to where we are today, which is the subconscious mind, it's the connecting link. And then from here, we're going to be talking about the brain more in general, because it is the broadcasting and receiving station for thought. And, you know, I've spent the last few years studying the brain in detail, learning some fancy words. I could have just focused on Think and Grow Rich, because Napoleon Hill gives some very, very strong insight as to how the brain works and how you can leverage your brain to achieve what you need to and want to achieve. And then after that, we go into the sixth sense. So after you've learned all these principles, all this really great knowledge, we learn how to just leverage and count on and depend on our intuition to bring us insights that we might not get from the analysis. And then although it's not a principle, you know, one of the things I really like in this book is that Napoleon Hill goes into how to outwit the six ghosts of fear, because we all struggle with fear. One of the things that we don't realize in the moment is that most of our fears are not only are they not real, they're usually not even founded on anything real. And once we can identify those fears and, as my brother said earlier, make plans to overcome those fears, then we get to enjoy the success that we've been seeking.
Thank you so very much, Galen. I want to bring up another question that was asked by Catherine Woodhouse. Thank you, Catherine, for the question to our guest. And she says, you mentioned assessing our emotional state in order to reframe it as we battle negative thoughts. Some of us are less aware of ourselves at any moment. What best practice increases our own self-awareness? And this is for you, Mr. Regis.
Well, there are a lot of things in this age of YouTube and Google and all that, you can really learn a lot. For me, just quiet meditation. I have an upbringing, especially from a Quaker background, where it's a lot of meditation. And if you can imagine a 13, 14-year-old trying to tell them just to sit and be quiet and meditate. But that has a lot of practice and a lot of merit, because you get a chance to really see what's going on. We have a lot of noise in our life, a lot of distractors in our life. So if you get an opportunity just to kind of sit and be quiet, and even in prayer, we oftentimes are doing a lot of the talking, and then as soon as we say amen, we're up and leaving, and God is saying, well, wait a second, I want to give you the answer, all right? And so it's a lot of just being able to just slow things down and be quiet enough to be able to really understand, why am I thinking this way? Why am I feeling this way? And gathering an understanding.
Well, thank you for that. And I'm curious, so what's your favorite part of this philosophy in terms of this particular principle dealing with the subconscious mind? We're going to prepare to wrap up shortly, but I just want to make sure that from your perspective, we're able to share with our audience, because it's such a deep subject that we want to make sure we didn't miss any particular thoughts you may have regarding what stands out to you the most as an aha from the success conscious mind.
That's a great question, because the book as a whole is so impactful. The chapter as a whole is so impactful. Just being able to pull out one part is really difficult for me. It's kind of like saying, what's your favorite vegetable in the stew? All right? It all goes together. But as far as the subconscious mind goes, I understand that everything has an impact. What we do today has an impact on what's going to happen tomorrow. But what we did yesterday has no bearing on our tomorrow. So what I mean by that is the things that happened yesterday plays into our subconscious mind, which kind of goes into how we're going to perform and how we're going to do things tomorrow. But our tomorrow, the air we breathe tomorrow doesn't have anything to do with the fact of the air that we breathed 2 weeks ago. It's a brand new day. But we carry into that our thoughts, our feelings, our history, what messages we've received. I do that with my profession, and I share with people just our relationship with money. What we do with it today has every bearing on the messages that we received in the past, but it doesn't have any bearing on what we can do in the future. And my goal is if we follow a certain regimen, 5 years from now, you'll be in a totally different financial place than you were 5 years ago. But we've got to change our relationship with money.
I have to go there. It's another show. I see Galen got his hand up. Go ahead, Galen, and then Urson, we're going to wrap it up.
Yeah, you know, a question I love to ask guests, because I get this question a lot. You know, obviously, the title of the book is Think and Grow Rich. So a lot of times people think about this being a financial book, a book about creating financial wealth, and it is, but you in particular, you work in so many different areas. So my question is, what would you say to people that would suggest that Napoleon Hill just wrote a financial wealth accumulation book? How do these principles apply to other areas of life?
Well, a lot of times people think it's a financial book because when they think of being rich, they only think of money, and their relationship with money lends itself to believe that. But when it comes to money, it's a matter of what do you want to do with that? The money is just going to give you options to do the things that you want to do, and this book is opening up those options for you. And there are things, and I just want to give a quick shout out to Thad and Frank and Paige and Barry who are listening in on this, because this is what we do. We're really trying to help people understand that there's a relationship, and Think and Grow Rich is helping to build those relationships with whatever it is that you want to accomplish, opens that up to help you live a rich and full life.
Wow. Galen, I hope that was helpful for you in terms of your question. Yes. All right, we're going to wrap up. What I'd like to do is have our co-host share how, and actually if there's any aha moments from what's been shared this morning and how people can reach them. And then, Mr. Bingham, we're going to come back to you. We want to thank all of our listeners and those of you who have been very active in the chat. I mean, Ron, Wyman, Johnny, Catherine, Rolando, everybody, thank you so much for participating. But can we go to, let's go to you first, Ursula, since you are so prominently in my screen here. Like you're ready to go here. Okay, can you, your aha, and then how people can reach you, and then we'll go to Galen.
My aha is the subconscious mind is at work at all times. And seeing it play out with the brothers and realizing that they're carrying on traditions that are probably generations old and passed, you know, down the line, it's wonderful to see and to realize the interaction of Thinking Grow Rich, the book, and the Bible and all of this, how it plays out. And for me, and how to get a hold of me, I am Ursula Odom, CEO of Sula 2. And we make old, new, and everything we do. And you can begin that process by going to Sula2.com and allowing us to capture, preserve, and present your legacy information, the stories that you tell about your family and your business, and transform it into books, videos, legacy walls, live performances. That's what we do at Sula 2.
All right. Thank you so much, Galen.
Yeah, you know, one of the biggest ahas that I got from this conversation, I always get a lot when I talk with my brother. Don't mention that to him because his head will get big. But is this idea that our yesterday impacts today, but it has no bearing on tomorrow. And that just really highlights this idea that there is a space between stimulus and response. And in that space, we've got the power to choose, right? We don't have to abdicate our power to choose how we want to approach life. And he really brought that to life for me in this conversation. My name is Galen Bingham, and I am the CEO of Kill Global Coaching and Consulting. I can be reached at Galen at KILN globalcoaching.com. Please come to me if I can help you get from where you are to where you want to be and help you crush your most important goal.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Now, Mr. Regis Bingham, if you can wrap us up. And, of course, we're going to go to our event, which Ursula will share about the annual meeting. But I'd like to have Mr. Regis share with us any closing thoughts or ahas that you may have gotten from the show.
Thank you. And I just really love that our subconscious mind is really a driving force of where we can go. It's, a lot of times people will say we only use 10% of our brain and we are capable of a whole lot more than what we can do. So one of the things that I got from the show is that being on this such esteemed panel, I'm capable of doing a whole lot more than what I'm currently doing. I'm Regis Bingham with WealthWave Financial. With 70% of Americans being financially illiterate, you don't need an advisor, you need a coach. And we are financial coaches. I'm the head coach, but we have specialty coaches as well. You can reach me at regis.bingham@wealthwave.com. Or you can also reach me by phone at 570-768-8998.
All right. Wow. I love the sound of that. Let's have that phone number one more time in case people on listening on the radio didn't hear that.
Okay. Again, it is 570-768-8998.
All right. Thank you so very much. Ursula, if you'd like to share with us about the annual meeting, and then I'll wrap up about who I am and what I do. Thank you.
Yes. Well, in January, you get to practice the things that you've heard us talk about and continue to hear us talking about, and that is being accountable for your desires. Because knowing what that ultimate desire is the first step. And that's what we do in January of every year, the first weekend of the month. It is called an accountability meeting, which means you're accountable for the past 365 days and then planning for the next 365 days. Are you worthy of going into the next year because you've taken care of the past year? Or if not, then what are you planning to do to make a change? So in Boca Raton, January 8th, 2021, that's a Friday evening we start, and then continuing through Saturday, January 9th from 8 o'clock a.m. On Friday we start at 6, and on Saturday we start at 8 in Boca Raton at the Embassy Suite. Go to internationalmasterminders.com and register right now. It is indeed a family affair, so bring the little ones, bring the older ones, and bring yourself to Boca Raton in January.
All right, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Again, my name is Ann McMillan, and I am the Master Wealth Builder, helping to build wealthier businesses and lives in every area of your life. And as the founder of the International Mastermind Association, I'm excited to have all of you listen in, and I will look forward to seeing all of you at our annual meeting. Also, in addition to that, I'm hosting a one-day island retreat. And I'll put the details in the chat. You can go to annmcmillan.com as we prepare to set that up for you. Because after our Life and Legacy event, the demand was overwhelming about people wanting more. So I'm going to focus purely on that as we talk about how do you take your subconscious mind and help it to drive your desire into a reality. Again, my name is Ann McMillan. You can reach me at annmcmillan.com. But I'm excited, Mr. Bingham. We want to thank you also, Ursula. And we do have two hosts that are not here today. He's going to get me.
Dr. Peter James.
Yes, Peter James, you need to come back so we can make sure that subconscious mind is drawing. And then, of course, we have Bettine, and Bettine is planning an event that she'll have her details. You can go to Dr. Peter James' website, and also you can Google him, Peter A. James, to be exact. And also, Bikin, you can Google her, and she's not hard to find, P-E-G-I-N-E. And so with that, we're going to wrap up the show. We want to thank all of you for continuing to join us every single Saturday as we bring to you the very best that this philosophy has to offer. And as always, we will see you every Saturday at 8 a.m. Eastern Time. We want to thank Dr. Vibe and all of the other people that have been listening from all over the world in joining us. And until then, we will see you. Yes, we will. We'll see you again next week, 8 a.m. Think and Grow Rich with us. Thank you. Have a good day.
Goodbye.